don't want to let that distract us from whatever the Lord would have for us in the service today. And I want to share some scripture with you. If you would like to read with me, I'd like to ask you to turn to the Epistle of Jude. And I want to read just the first three verses to begin with. Jude, verses 1 through 3. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And what I want to speak about for a while today, I want to use a title from the third verse, from something that was spoken here in the third verse of the Epistle of Jude. I want to talk about the faith. The faith. Jude mentioned it here. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And that's what I want to speak about in this message today, the faith. I believe that what he was talking about, and we know that in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, that the Hebrew writer defined faith by saying that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He also said in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it's impossible to please God. And we think of faith when we speak the word faith or hear the word faith. We often think of faith as being that by which we place our trust in the Lord and rely upon Him to hear our prayers and to answer our prayers and to do for us what we ask of Him, or for someone else perhaps, what we may ask of Him, and in that way to exercise faith in God. But Jude here, in mentioning the faith, I believe that he was speaking about something different. I believe he was speaking about a system of truth, a system of belief, that we contend for that system of belief that was once delivered unto the saints. I believe that Jude was referring to the same thing that Paul was referring to when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, when Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." I believe that they were talking about the same thing there, that the Apostle Paul had upheld in his ministry that system of truth that the Lord gave. And I believe that we have the same thing mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 5, where Paul said, "There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism." And so we're talking about a system of doctrine, a system of belief, a system of principles, and things that God has given to us. And, in thinking about this verse, And you think about your own experiences in your life. David, in the 119th Psalm, I believe in verse 105, he expressed the Word of God having been a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. And we are exhorted here in the Scriptures, in this verse that we find in this small epistle of Jude. We are exhorted and we are admonished that we should earnestly contend for that system of belief which was once delivered unto the saints. And you know, when we read that word contend, it implies a struggle and it implies a fight. I mean, when you think about someone, what do they call someone? What is it that they call a boxer that's waiting for his opportunity to claim the title from the champion? He is a contender. And so that's what we do when we contend. We are to be willing to go through the struggle or the fight in order to hold on to something. And when you read this, and the question I began to ask a moment ago, when you read this and when you think about this, aren't you thankful for the people since the time of Jude's writing, since the time that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, that Jude wrote this exhortation to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, aren't you thankful for those throughout time that took that seriously and that took that instruction there and did exactly that very same thing? That they contended for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, that we may have it today, that we may know that truth that is so precious to us today. Because I'm going to tell you something, many people went through struggles that you and I haven't even imagined in our lives in contending for the truth, in contending for the Word of God, that system of faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I'm telling you, friends, it's a message that people gave their lives for. It's a message that people gave up their very earthly life in order to see it continue and to see it prosper. They were willing even to, not only to die, but to die horrible, tragic deaths rather than renounce their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that the keeping of this, that contending for this faith that was once delivered unto the saints, has not been easy. And you know, oftentimes we are not nearly, we may think of things oftentimes as being really ancient history when they're really not ancient history. And the Lord's church is really not that many years removed from physical persecution. From the time of the Lord's establishment of the church, when the Lord Jesus Christ established the church during his personal ministry on the earth, the church has seen many more years of bitter physical persecution than what she has enjoyed without it. And we're not really, as I said, we're not really that many years removed from the time when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, when people were giving up their lives, when people were making this great sacrifice in order that they might be able to preserve this gospel that the next generation and the next generation, if God were to allow time to continue, may have it. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how much that you stop and think about it, but as a church, we have a great responsibility. I mean, there's a lot more, to being a church. There's a lot more to us coming together here on Sunday morning or Sunday evening in our worship services and singing some songs and having a good time in the Lord and hearing people get happy in the Lord and shout the praises of God. There's a lot more to being a church than just what goes on inside of our four walls in our worship services. We have got the responsibility to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, and it is incumbent upon us to do whatever is necessary that we might preserve it for the years to come. You know, I pray that we love the truth as much as those before us love the truth. I pray that we are willing to make the sacrifices that they were willing to make in order to preserve the truth. I'm afraid sometimes that, it's just something perhaps that we take too much for granted. And we don't stop oftentimes and we don't think about the great cost. I'm going to tell you something. When the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ came to you, I want you to think back. I hear a lot of people in their testimonies. I hear a lot of people talk about, the time that the gospel pricked their heart. The time that, they were under conviction, that the Holy Spirit of God took that gospel truth and convicted their heart. And I want you to know something, that when that grand old message came to your ears, I want you to realize that there were people that had fought the good fight. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. His ministry obviously wasn't easy, was it? It wasn't easy. I mean, he fought a fight. He finished his course, and he fought that fight to keep that faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Listen, there were people, that lived before us that I believe they looked ahead. They looked ahead. They thought about the time that, should the Lord allow time to continue. They thought about the time that their posterity would need to hear the same message that they had heard, that the truth must be preserved, that the truth must continue on, and that we might keep it pure. And they contended for that. You know what Solomon said about it? In Proverbs 23:23, Solomon admonished that we are to buy the truth and sell it not. I mean, the truth is something that we are to grab hold of. We are to lay hold on the truth and to never let it go and to never forsake it and to contend for it and to face the struggle that might be necessary in order that it go on. We need to be a people that are grounded in the faith. I'll tell you what, it's important what we believe. There are people today, and I'm talking about in the realm of religion today, there are people today, that don't think that it's real important what you believe, just as long as you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's all that matters. As long as you have that mental belief that Jesus Christ came to the world and died for our sins, that's all that matters. Well, folks, let me tell you something. I believe it is of utmost importance that we preach the Lord Jesus Christ. It is of utmost importance that we preach and present the Lord Jesus Christ to people. But folks, I'll tell you what, we've got to present Him in the right way. There's a lot of people that are telling other people about Jesus and deceiving their souls all the while that they're doing it. The Bible tells us that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Listen, there's a lot of people in the world today. There's a lot of people in the world today that don't want me to stand up and say this, or they don't want anybody else to stand up and say it. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people in the world today. They believe they are saved. They believe that everything is all right between them and God. They have been duped and deceived by men. And there's a lot of people today, sadly enough, there's a lot of people today that think it's well with their soul, and it has never been made well with their soul. They've been led to believe a lie. They've been led to believe something that's not true. I'm going to tell you, it's crucial that we tell sinners the truth. That we tell them the truth. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. I'm not going to quote that whole verse, but in that verse, Colossians 1, 23, you make note of it. You go there and read it. In that verse, Paul admonished those Gentiles to continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and to not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. And folks, listen, we as Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church in the year 2012, we need to be just as resolved and we need to be just as determined as our forefathers were, that we be grounded in the faith, that we be settled in the faith, and that we not be removed from the truth of the gospel. I'll tell you what, I'm thankful today that the gospel truth has continued at this church since the day of her establishment, of her organization. But we better be on guard, and we better be watching, and we better be contending. And don't ever think that it can't happen to us. Don't ever think that the thing that has happened to so many others, where they once had the truth, they were once a soul-saving station, they were once a place where people could go and really hear about the new birth and really hear about true repentance and true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and really know what it meant to be born again by the Spirit of God, and they have drifted away from those teachings, many of them to the point that God would not even recognize them as one of His anymore. And don't ever think that that can't happen to us, because it can. And we must contend and we must stand. And having done all to stand, let us stand. Don't be afraid to stand for the truth, because the world needs it so desperately. The truth is the only thing that can set people free. Lies and deceit and guile and the Word of God misused and misrepresented does not set people free. It doesn't. The truth will set you free. I heard a man this morning. I'll tell you what, our country, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with people? We have just lost sight of what's really important. We've lost sight of what's really counts, what's really, really important, and what we really need. I heard, one of the politicians, I was listening to the early news this morning, and it's the same old thing. The same thing said that I continue to hear over and over. And his statement was, America will be a better country when America has a better economy. And that seems to be all that people think about. Listen, folks, we could have we could have a great turnaround in this country economically, but there are some things that you can't buy your way out of with money, and there are some things that money just will not accomplish. I'll tell you what would make a better America if America again would embrace the truth of this grand old book and look to God. Listen, if you've got a country that's just willfully sinning, I mean grotesque sin that's going on every hand, you won't make that country better by strengthening the economy. You won't do it. I'll tell you what, I'm not very smart, but I'm smarter than that politician. I'm smart enough to know that a strong economy will not turn a sinful nation around. It won't do it, folks. It won't accomplish it. You may be able to live in bigger and better houses if you have a strong economy, or you may be able to drive fancier cars or something like that, or spoil yourself more if you have a strong economy. But I'll tell you what, the only help for a nation is when God is their God and His truth is their guidelines. That's the only thing that makes a nation strong. I don't care what they say. I'll stand on the Word of God. God never judged Israel. You read about it. Israel, Babylon, you read about the different nations in the Bible, and you read about the judgments of God that came upon them, and God never was judging them based upon their economic status. God never was judging them for having a poor or a weak economy, and God was never praising them if they had a strong economy. God was judging them based upon how they lived their lives morally and how they lived their lives according to the Word of God. And when they were sinning against God, He brought judgment upon them for that. And He'll do the same thing today. God hasn't changed. People's minds have changed. They're warped. I'll tell you, people's minds are just warped. The devil is really having his way. He's really having his way with people. I want to share this with you. B.H. Carroll once wrote this. I'm not going to quote it word for word, but this is essentially what he said. It's recorded in his books, The Interpretation of the English Bible. And he said this. He said that if you do not believe the doctrines of the denomination that you're a part of, then you should not be part of that denomination. That's pretty simple, but it's true. We ought to believe those doctrines, that system of faith that has been once delivered unto the saints. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." Boy, did not the Lord Jesus Christ leave us with good doctrine? I mean, He established His church in the truths. I'm going to tell you, folks, that 3.5 years that the Lord spent with His church when He established His church and He taught His church, I'm going to tell you that He indoctrinated His church. His church knew the truth. They knew the truth. When Jesus was finished with them, they could go out and they could preach the truth. They could tell people the truth. The Lord had instilled in them that system of faith. Who was it that Jude was talking about that had once delivered that faith unto the church? It was the Lord. The Lord instilled the truth into His church, and He wanted His truth to be preserved because He told His church, He said, "I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. When I go away, I'm going to send another comforter, and the comforter is the Holy Ghost. And he told his church that when he comes, he's going to guide you into all truth. I'll tell you what, you want to know the truth? You get the Word of God, and you study the Word of God, and you pray to the Holy Spirit. You pray for understanding. You pray for that Holy Spirit understanding, and God will illuminate your mind and show you the truth. You believe that? Believe that God today will still guide His church into all truth? I'll tell you what, we need to stand for the truth. We don't need to be wimps. And we don't need to be backwards. We need to contend for the faith. Oh, there's so many people today, they're whining and moping, and they say, oh, you know, don't say anything about what somebody else believes. You know, you might offend somebody if you, say something. I'll tell you what, folks, if somebody believes something that's not true, that is damaging to their soul, and they need to be showed the truth. They need to be told the truth. I'll tell you what, this concept that people have today about tiptoeing around with the Word of God and not saying anything that might offend somebody else that don't believe what you say. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you somebody that did not believe that. Jesus. Jesus didn't believe a word of that. You turn to the 23rd chapter of Matthew and you read how he spoke to those Pharisees about what it was that they believed, about their belief and what they had to do in order to get to heaven. You read how he raked them over the coals about their belief in getting to heaven by their good works. Jesus told them the truth. Let me tell you something today. You may have friends. You may have neighbors that are of another denomination. You may have friends and neighbors that believe things completely different than what you do. But let me tell you something. Don't hold back the truth from your friends and your neighbors or your co-workers or whatever it is. Don't you dare hold back the truth just because it may cause a rift. Let me tell you something. If they are believing something wrong and they are headed for destruction, if you don't do your best to rescue them, you're not being a very good friend. I'm glad that I had people in my life that would just flat out tell me the truth. I give thanks for them today that told me the truth. They weren't worried about it hurting my feelings. I'll tell you what, we owe God allegiance before we owe anything to anybody. This truth is not ours, folks. It does not belong to Fairview Memorial. It's the Lord's truth. It's His word. It's His doctrine. And He left us responsible for it. He left us responsible to contend for His system of truth, for that faith that He had once delivered unto the saints. There are people today, and there have been for years, you know what they want, you know what they want to see? This is really what the fundamentalist movement is about. They want to see everybody chuck those things that divide them and everybody just come together. You know, why do we have to be separated? Why can't we worship together? Let me tell you something. Do not our doctrinal beliefs test fellowship? Don't they? Well, I'll tell you what. Amos the prophet obviously believed that they do. You know what Amos 3:3 says? You know what question you find in Amos 3:3? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can they? Not in the way that he was talking. And really, to be honest with you, if you really study what that question meant there in Amos 3 and 3, what he was really talking about, he was actually talking about something even more important than one church perhaps not being able to fellowship with another type of church. He was talking about something bigger than that. He was talking about Israel's fellowship with God. Can you walk with God if you do not stand on his truth? Could Israel, that's really what he was saying, Israel, can you forsake my faith, my system of faith? Can you forsake my truth and walk with me? No, you can't. Church, we cannot have fellowship with God outside of his truth. We can't. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, but there has to be a foundation for that unity. There has to be something that binds us together with God. His truth. Did you know that the truth is the only thing that the Holy Spirit promised that he would bear witness to? The truth. He will bear witness to the truth. And so we must continue the fight. We must continue to contend for the faith that's once delivered to the saints. Listen, know what you believe and stand for what you believe. Stand for it. Don't be afraid, because I promise you this, from God's word, I promise you this, if you will stand for the truth, God will stand with you. Amen. He will stand with you. And you will have the advantage if you stand for the truth. So, let us contend for the faith. Let us continue to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You know what? You and I, we come and go. We come and go. We come into the kingdom, we pass through the kingdom, and we leave, and we're gone. We're gone, and the truth won't die with us. My prayer is this. My prayer is that if God extends time, you know, if God lets time go on another 100 years, you and I, we won't be Fairview Memorial. We'll be gone. We'll be gone home to be with the Lord. But I pray that there'll be people that'll still be standing for the truth, still upholding God's truth, that there'll still be a Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church that will be contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We have that responsibility to those that will follow us to uphold the truth. And we have that responsibility to God. I'm thankful that it's been mentioned here this morning a couple of times, that we have young people, many young people here at our church that still have not professed salvation. And I'm glad they're hearing the truth. And I'll tell you what, I'm not a bit shy. If something is not true, I'm not a bit shy of standing up and publicly denouncing it and saying, listen, don't listen to that. That's not true. We ought to be willing to do that. I appreciate your attention today. And I'm going to ask everybody. I know that those that are getting the food ready for us downstairs, I know they need a few moments. And I'm going to ask everybody else to please stay up here for just a little while. We're going to have a song or two, and then we'll have a benediction and we'll go down and enjoy.